this is what I would recommend to everyone. If you're doing this yourself, sit down with yourself, have a chat with yourself. What is your brand all about? So what's very important is that your emails are written in your brand voice. It should be recognizable. It should be unique. Don't try to be formal when your brand isn't. You know, it can be funny. It can be informal. It can be dramatic even. It can be anything you want it to be as long as it makes sense for you.
Hello and welcome to My Journey to CEO. This podcast is for women entrepreneurs and innovators to help women become confident to start their own business. I'm your host, Valeria Medero, and I'm an entrepreneur just like you. Join me here every week as I talk about common fears and challenges entrepreneurs face and hear from successful women entrepreneurs and their journey to get there. The journey to entrepreneurship is not easy, but are you ready to start? Welcome everyone to another episode of My Journey to CEO. I'm your host, Valeria Madero, and for today's episode, I am really excited to introduce you to today's guest. Renee is an email marketer and copywriter. She's been a passionate storyteller since writing her first ever book when she was 9 years old. After graduating with her master's degree in creative writing, she fell in love with helping others to tell their incredible stories through fun, personal email marketing. Because even in 2022, email is still the number one communication platform for all demographics, including millennials and Gen Z. So please welcome to the podcast, Renee Raymerman. Hi, Renee. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so excited to have you here and super, super excited to kind of have this conversation, a little bit of marketing strategy, specifically with email marketing, because I am very curious. I think this is an area that a lot of people get a little bit overwhelmed with or just completely dismiss this strategy and this type of connection and communication they can have with their audience, with their clients, their customers. But before we officially jump into this topic and in this conversation, you have to tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background.
Well, gladly. I am so passionate about storytelling. I wrote my first book when I was 9. It was horrible. The cover looked ridiculous, but I was very proud of it. It was 17 pages of handwritten notes. And so eventually I decided to do a master's degree in creative writing and just fell in love with telling other people's stories. And that's what I've been doing ever since through email.
That's so amazing. Like, I think through storytelling is like the best way to connect with someone and also show a little bit of personality. Like, I don't think whether you have a business or a side hustle or just like freelancing or even I feel like a digital content creator, like you can show a little bit more of who you are and like what you like to do, or even just personal tips and things that can help you connect with your audience even more. So kind of walk us how you like suddenly discover this passion and how did you like pivot into starting this for yourself to helping other people, helping clients, and how exactly did that road get you here?
It's just been so crazy. I started out as a teacher and tried to get my students excited about reading and stories and literature and all that, and they were not having it. So I just decided to find a different path and find people that did like it, because I knew there were people like me. And I just recognized in the marketing materials that I received as a consumer that, like you just mentioned, they weren't very personal. They really could do with a lot more character and charisma. And I decided I was going to be the one to bring it to them. And so now I teach people how to on my Instagram.
That's so amazing. Yeah, I agree. I think email marketing is one of those things where it can definitely be so pivotal for businesses, for just people in general, but it can be so overwhelming. Like if you don't know where to start, how to start. And I feel like the most important or like major obstacles for people is what to write. Like, what do I even put in an email? So can you share a little bit more about why having an email list is so important and sort of like the benefits of email marketing compared to like other forms of marketing, right? Like we have social media marketing, there's like ads, there's PR and all those things that are definitely very important and can definitely bring great amount of success. But what sets apart email marketing?
I think that's a great question. Well, first of all, no shade to social media marketing or any other form. No, I think that a good mix of everything is definitely always the best way to go. I mean, I think as we've seen a few months ago when the whole metaverse suddenly crashed, that it's good to not have all your eggs in one basket. And so I feel like email marketing is one very safe option because you do truly own your list when you do start one, whereas social media following, that can just go away in an instant, which is scary. Although people sometimes feel like email marketing is a bit old school, it really isn't. Gen Z and millennials, they still prefer to get email over social media messages.
Yeah, that's so important what you said, that most people think it's like an old marketing strategy or that it's not effective. And I think when done right, it can certainly be super effective and useful. And I think one of the most key things that you just mentioned there was that social media, you don't own those platforms, those audiences, really. Like, if your account were to get blocked or deleted by Facebook, like, it's gone. All that following.
Into oblivion. You're never getting that back.
Yeah, absolutely. All that following is just vanished. And you would have to either start from scratch or have, like, a very lengthy battle with Instagram or Facebook to get your account back. And all those connections, if you don't continue to nurture them, right? If you can't, like, you don't have a way of saying, hey, let's continue to communicate via email or let's move to this other platform or this, they're just gone. They're just like, okay, you just disappeared. You vanished from the earth. Like, what happened, right? So I'm curious to know a little bit more about how exactly can we utilize email marketing and sort of combine that with other strategies, right? Because I think it's really important to finding that balance of, yes, social media marketing is very important as well and can certainly bring a lot of benefits, but it shouldn't be just your only form of marketing, as you said. So how can we combine those two aspects so that it can essentially be utilized to the best of our abilities without overwhelming our audience? I think that's the most important aspect, right? Like, we don't want to just share the same thing we share in one platform in the other and continuously like overwhelm our audience into like, I have to be on Facebook, I have to follow them on Instagram, I have to be on their email list, right?
No, you are absolutely right, especially what you said about you don't want to sort of become repetitive and boring. I mean, that is probably the worst thing that could happen to you as a marketer. So my favorite strategy to combine both is to use social media as a way to prep and educate your audience on the offer that you sell. So you share sort of fixes for their problems, you share what the problem is in the first place, because usually before people come to you, they don't even realize that they need your offer, that they need what you do. And so your email list and your email campaigns, that's where the sale happens.
Yeah, that's really important. I feel like also too, you have more like capabilities of providing them the options to purchase, to buy. But I also think there needs to be like a very, again, balance, right? You don't want to be too, I feel like most people, when they think of email marketing, they think sales, like it's very pushy, it's very salesy, right? So what would you say are some of the most like biggest mistakes or misconceptions even that people, whether it's for their business or their side hustle, make when trying to grow or share content through their email list?
Oh, you are absolutely right about that one. Yes, email marketing has sort of a bad rep for it being sleazy. And it often is. I mean, my personal spam folder is just filled to the brim with emails I will never open and never want to read. So as you said, there needs to be a good balance between what I like to do, storytelling and selling. So I like to sell someone a transformation, not just a product in my emails. I try to show them what their life will look like after they purchase said offer. So it really becomes like, you're doing them a service by sending them these emails. And that's really what your core belief has to be able to do it right. You need to believe that your product will transform their life, or otherwise you can't sell in good faith, almost, I want to say.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think, right, if you don't believe it yourself or like trust in that why of what you're doing or what you're selling, people are going to notice that as well.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. So there are obviously different ways that you can do this. I like to gradually take someone along the sale during a sequence or during a series of emails instead of just sending them promotional email on top of promotional email.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a very good mix. And I definitely want to get into that for sure, because I think it's very important also, not just like the touch points you have with your audience or your email list, but also what kind of content you're sharing, like that storytelling and transformation. And I think that's where most people get very overwhelmed, right? Of like, how often should I send an email? What should I send in my email? What call to action should I have in my email? And I definitely want to get into that. But I think the most important aspect, right, when starting your email marketing, besides the storytelling and transformation, is actually getting your ideal audience. So like, how do we even begin to grow this email list, right? Because we can have all the tips, all the great information, all the great call to actions, but if we don't have anyone in our email list, no one's going to see it and no one's going to buy. So how do we begin to grow like that trust in our ideal audience to say, okay, I'm ready to move from your Instagram or your Facebook or even your website into an email list?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's definitely a lot more intimate, an email list, because it requires people to take more steps. And they're basically telling you, yes, my inbox is ready for your emails. So you need to deliver from the start or they will just unsubscribe. That's just what happens. I do want to preface this by saying that unsubscribers are not necessarily a bad thing, because that is sometimes what people are scared of. They think, oh, I don't want to send out too many emails because people will unsubscribe and then I, you know, my list drops. That is not something to be scared of. Obviously, you don't want to overdo it by sending multiple emails a day, except for when apparently it works for your business. But yeah, it's just like unfollows, you know, they don't necessarily mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing. But yeah, the way to grow your email list, there are tons and tons of different strategies out there. The one I personally like best is by using a lead magnet. And so you are giving your subscriber, your potential subscriber, something in return for their email address. So you're essentially saying, hey, I'm going to give you this free value that is actually useful to you. And in exchange, we can communicate further on my email list.
Yeah, absolutely. I think like that value is really what's going to help people. I feel like also to not just see who you are and the kind of knowledge or experience that you have in that industry, but also they can see that like you're a trustworthy and authentic person, right? Like you wouldn't want to subscribe to someone who's just like spreading lies or like misinformation, right? Like, well, I hope not. You wouldn't want to subscribe to those lists, right? So when you have like those value ads, right, whether it's like a how-to guide or a short ebook of like that crucial information that gets people interested and also wanting to know even more about your product or the service that you offer, is really important and oftentimes pivotal. Like, who doesn't enjoy free things, right? Like who doesn't want like a little freebie, right? So how do we begin to create those things, right? Because I feel like that can also seem like a very time-consuming task to do, but can definitely have a lot of impact, right? So we want something that provides that value that can definitely be intentional for our audience. So how do we even begin to craft this? If like, let's say we want to do like ebook, like a free ebook with some maybe to-dos or tips. How do we get that that's going to be an actual successful and effective freebie for our audience?
I like that you say that it's going to be an actually effective freebie, because I mean, I have received a bunch of freebies in my day that were absolutely not useful in any way.
Right.
So that's not what we want, because although they might get people onto your list, they will unsubscribe so fast because they feel like you're not actually providing them with anything. I think step one for creating a great freebie that is actually useful is to make sure that it relates to your offer. So I say this over and over again, and it sounds so simple, but I do see tons of people making this mistake. Say you are selling hair care. You don't want to sell a free or give them a free ebook that talks about breakfast smoothie recipes, because it just hasn't, you know, one has nothing to do with the other. And although they might love the breakfast smoothie ideas, they're not going to necessarily buy your hair care because that's not what they came for. So it is almost false advertising in a way, or even if it's not intentional, it is not going to be helpful for your marketing strategy. So that is step one, and also right away, like the most crucial one for sure. Then, like you just said, it can be very time consuming to create a good freebie. I always advise people to not worry too much about design. I feel like, including me, people get carried away, you know, spending hours and hours on Canva. Just pick a template or buy one from Etsy. There's great ones on Etsy, and just work with it. You know, it's never really going to be a deal breaker if the background was like eggshell or off-white. People don't care. just try to brand it a little bit. Use your brand colors, use some pictures. That's going to be very useful already.
Absolutely. I mean, even myself, like I get caught up in like the details and intricacies that sometimes aren't necessarily going to be that effective or useful or make it like extremely better. And plus, like, I feel like also too, your taste is going to change. So like maybe 6 months from now, you're like, oh, I actually hate this design, but you spent like 12 hours trying to perfect it back then, right? I think the most important aspect is really just the content that you're providing, but also too, like if you are really stuck on what to provide for your audience as a freebie or like a lead magnet, asking what kind of content they would like to see from you or like would want to know from you is also very important and can be very crucial in helping you create that and craft that. So like not being afraid to literally ask your audience, whether it be like on an Instagram story or a Facebook post, right? Like people want to engage with you. And if you're building that audience through social media marketing and have that deep connection already, you can ask those questions and then convert that into your email list. And then it will continue to love your content, which is getting me to my next point in question, which is what kind of content should we be sending, right? And like what kind of content would be effective in an email? Can we like turn a blog into an email? Can we turn an Instagram post into an email without it being repetitive, right? Like we don't want the same people who follow us on Instagram to see the same content in our emails. So like how should we craft our content? Like what kind of message are more effective, or what kind of, you know, content can translate into an email without it being so overwhelming and pushy for our audience?
I love that question. I think we can right away crush the misconception that email has to be formal, because it does not. And, you know, I feel like a lot of people see email as such like a scary, difficult thing, whereas mm-hmm. I always like to see it as such an opportunity. My problem with social media is that I always have way too much to say to fit into one caption or one reel or one Instagram story. And so your email is the place to do that. And it is not going to bore people as quickly, because they expect it from you. So you know how people keep saying like, like our attention spans are getting shorter and shorter. That is not necessarily true. So on Instagram, I can genuinely, it scares me, but genuinely I can find a 30 second reel be too long, but I will happily binge a whole season of Bridgerton because I know what to expect. I know one episode right. be around 40 minutes. And so that's fine by me. And I expect a reel to be around, you know, the 10 second mark. So that's what I want the reel to be. And email is the exact same. So an Instagram caption is going to be, you know, a couple hundred words, maybe. A whole email is going to be, can be a lot more, just like a blog post. So you don't need to be afraid to say too much. Obviously, you know, sort of try to keep it in check a little bit, but you know what you know. So yeah, good messaging in email. For me personally, I would say it's all about the buildup. So it's all about making sure people know what to expect. I like to help brands with their welcome sequences in particular, which is a series that you write once and then you place it in your automation, and people will just automatically receive your 5 to 7 emails or whatever number works for you. But that's usually sort of the golden rule that I live by. And so in those emails, you go from introducing yourself to hopefully make that sale at the end. And so it just needs to be, a smart buildup. It just needs to make sense. And I think that is just the most important part for your messaging.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, like, it doesn't have to be this formal, like, no, PhD dissertation kind of like content that you're sharing. Like, you can be personal. You know, can like have your personality shine through, and like, that's perfectly okay. With that being said, I think it's also very important to like try different like kinds of content to share to see what kind of content your audience wants to do, which we hear a lot through email marketing about like A/B testing. So can you tell us a little bit more about that? Because I feel like that also plays into, like, can also play a very important aspect when it comes to like how often you should send your emails or your content to your audience. So can you explain, first of all, what is A/B testing?
What is A/B testing? Math problem, honestly. It scared me the first time I read that term. It is not. A/B testing essentially is just you sending out two different versions of the same email, you know, slightly different, slightly altered, and seeing which one performs the best. And then you do it again and again until you have the perfect email. I mean, obviously that is the goal. So I would say for beginners, when it comes to A/B testing, I would just start by using two different subject lines. Nothing else, just the subject line, and then see which one performs best. Then after a while, you pick the one that has the highest open rate, and then you come up with a new one and then see if that one outperforms the first one. And so that way you can just sort of experiment, see what works best, see what doesn't, and what sort of subject lines your audience responds the best to.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is just going to give you more information as to, again, what kind of content your audience wants to see from you and also interact and consume. So now that we have a better idea of, okay, what kind of content is actually engaging for my audience, what kind of content they would like to consume from me, how often should we be sending this kind of information or connection with our audience? Like, is it too pushy if we send more than one email in a week?
So that is, again, a great question. And I wish I had a one-size-fits-all answer, because I would love to know it as well. But unfortunately, it does not exist. It is just, again, sort of a matter of experimenting. I can say, however, when it comes to a welcome sequence, for example, the one that you put in place once, you want to make sure that they're not too spread out, because people will forget who you are. You kind of want to keep that momentum going and make sure that they're expecting your next email, and are, if you're doing it right, they're wanting to receive your next email. And so, yeah, I would say if you are doing a welcome sequence that is, say, 5 emails long, send one every day or keep one day in between. But I would recommend not going further than that.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, too, I feel like it depends, right? Like, of what your audience wants to see, and also how engaged and like the connection that you have with your audience and the kind of content you share, right? Because like, if it's content, like if you're in an industry where like it's very fast paced and it's constantly changing, like there's new trends or new information, then yeah, maybe like 2 emails in a week isn't as terrible, right? But where you're in an industry where maybe like the same information kind of applies in the next month or 2 months, then okay, maybe once a month or bi-weekly would be best, right? Now you keep mention sequences, right? Like, we're doing this email sequence. What is that? Like, how, like, what is a sequence, and how should it kind of build in the sense of we're taking our audience into like a little ride or a journey, right, through the sequence of emails?
I love the way you just put that. Yes, it is a journey, and that's what it's supposed to be. So a sequence is just a series of emails that you have written. It could be a campaign, or it can be, say, your welcome sequence, your introduction sequence. And so these are emails that all work together as like a little puzzle. So they're not just randomly thrown into one campaign and there you go, enjoy it. That is not what a sequence is. So it is very strategic. Strategy is the key word here when it comes to sequences. And yeah, so what I generally like to do is I like to take the audience through the five stages of awareness, which if you're a marketer, you know what I'm talking about. So we're taking the reader who is unaware at first, unaware of their problem and unaware of the solutions for their problem. So how do you make them more aware? By guiding them through those 5, 6, or 7 emails. So we're going to just very subtlety also key here. You want to make the reader think that buying from you was their idea. Like, we're just going to let them believe that, you know, if they feel good, it's good for you, it's good for your sales. And, you know, like, we're friendly people. We're doing friendly sales tactics. So to take someone from unaware to aware, you need to show them what they're missing, and you need to show them how they can fix that with your product, ideally. Yeah. And so that is what a smart sequence is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the most like simple way of understanding that, again, is like taking that customer through a journey. And the thing is that every single customer might be on a different journey, right? So is there like a limit to how many sequences one should have, or like an ideal number of sequences, right? Because not everyone needs to be aware. Maybe some people are aware of your solution or of the problem that they're experiencing, so they're in a different journey than somebody else within your email list or your audience, right? So what kind of things should we maybe have for those different people? Like, maybe some things that might trigger in our website for them to have a specific email and then put into a specific path. Like, how should we go about that, right? Because we're entrepreneurs, freelancers, side hustlers. We're very busy. We're trying to get effective, you know, ways to communicate, but also for them to experience our content.
So now we're getting into the part that gets me so excited about email marketing. I love it. So segmenting. Segmenting is the holy grail of email marketing. And it is when you put your reader and place them into their own separate category, so that every time they do anything, they perform any action, they get put into a new category or a new segment, which allows them to get emails that are super specific and super tailored to them. And this is another thing that you cannot do on social media. On social media, you put content out there. It's for everyone to see, whichever level your follower is, it doesn't matter because you can't do anything about it. Whereas in your emails, like you just said, maybe someone is already almost ready to buy from you. They don't want to go through 7 emails of discovery and through the journey. You know, they've been through the journey, been there, done that, in the famous words, right? You know, so he or she might want to just go on a different path. And you can do that with segmenting and different triggers.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that also helps you understand the kind of audience that you're attracting, or the kind of audience that is like searching for your business, and where to continue to like invest in those areas. Now, we were mentioning certain like triggers, right? I feel like that's like, for someone who's never heard about email marketing, what are we talking about, right? Like, what is a trigger? So like, what are certain things that could like potentially, right, alert us or our system into sending that? Like, what is a trigger? How does that use it work, and how it can help us through our audience and customer journey, but also through that segmentation process?
Well, I think a real world example just works best here to sort of clear from the two technical terms. So I worked with a hair care and skincare brand, and so those are two related things, but they are not the same. You know, I might be very interested in hair care, but not so much in skincare. And so what we can do about that is we can segment people into their own different categories. So say we send out our welcome sequence, and inside that welcome sequence, we place information about both hair care and skincare. And when someone clicks, say, a blog post about ways to treat dry hair, they will be segmented into the hair care category, or they will be placed into the skincare category when they click on something related to skincare. But you can go even further. So as I just mentioned, there's dry hair, there's oily hair. If they click on a blog post about oily hair, they will be placed into that segment. And so from then on, they will only receive emails about products that help fix oily hair. And so they don't need to go through skincare for dry skin, because A, they're not interested in skincare, and they might also not even have dry skin. So the more they interact with your emails, the more personalized they will get. And that is what I love so much about it.
Yeah. And the key important aspect that you mentioned right there is like that personalization, right? Like, we want to ensure that, again, we're not overwhelming our audience, but we're also not being repetitive. I think people get annoyed when you like continue to say the same thing over and over again. And it's like, if they already know that or have a different interest, getting that content just makes you feel like this is not important. This is not relevant to me. How is this going to help me? And then eventually like unsubscribe, which again, unsubscribers don't necessarily mean it's a bad thing, but if it's someone that we could have built a better connection with, then yeah, it kind of hurts to like have them leave so early on, let's say in the customer journey or the email sequence, right? So now that we're talking about, okay, we understand what kind of content, how often, and really the differences between like the kind of journeys that your audience and customers might be in, what kind of system should we have? I think this is the question that a lot of people get stuck on after what kind of content we should send, because there's so many tools, right? Like there's MailChimp, there is your provider from your website, maybe. There's so many tools out there. And I feel like for someone who is just starting, that can get so overwhelming so fast. Like, what kind of features do you think are maybe some essential features for someone starting their email list or wanting to dive into email marketing? Like, how should we compare? What are some pros and cons? What is your personal experience? Please tell us.
No, I think that is a great question. So like you said, there are so many tools and softwares out there that it's almost hard to decide which one am I going to go with. So I think it's good if we just sort of break down a couple of the most common ones. So my least favorite is going to be MailChimp. I do not understand.
Really?
Yes, I have spent so much time trying to understand it. It has a lot of potential. Now that I've figured it out, it works. You know, it does the job. But I found that there are so many softwares that are a lot easier to use, especially if you're going to use it yourself. If you're going to hire an email marketer, MailChimp is fine. They'll know what to do. If it's going to be just for you, I would personally recommend you use, honestly, anything else. It has a lot of options, but with those options comes confusion, you know, technology. So there is MailerLite, which is a really great free option. It can do all the things. It can segment, it can create different audiences. You can use it to place a form on your website to get new subscribers, all these things, everything you need, essentially. And it's free up to a certain amount of subscribers. I believe 1,000, but that is quite a lot. You know, once you've got 1,000 subscribers, then you're doing pretty well. So that is a great one. If you want to create some more interesting design ones, you know, like the really pretty aesthetic looking ones, those usually come from bigger brands and product-based businesses. So in that case, Flowdesk can be a really great option. It is on the pricier side. So if you already have sort of an existing list and you really want to step it up, that might be a great option. Although just, you know, for all the freelancers out here, for all the solopreneurs, design definitely is not everything when it comes to your emails. People like design. People like some visuals. They like some aesthetically pleasing looking emails, but it is not everything. I have made crazy returns on investment with, you know, just your typical black and white email with not a GIF inside. Yeah, you really do not need all of that fancy stuff. But if you do, Flowdesk is a great option. And then also there is ConvertKit, which I like to see as sort of the best of both worlds between MailerLite and Flowdesk. So it has a bit more customization options. I do also believe it is free up to a certain amount of subscribers. It does get substantially more expensive the bigger your list grows. But that is usually an investment that you can afford once your list starts to grow. Like then you're doing your email marketing right, according to all the tips. So yeah, those are three really great options depending on sort of what you are looking for.
Absolutely. And also too, like your business, your side hustle or whatever you're doing, right? It's going to grow. And like, just because you made this decision now does not mean that later on you can't expand it or change it or move to a different provider. Like, yeah, is it going to be a little bit annoying to do that in the first place? Like once you do it, yeah, but then like it's done. You don't have to worry about it, right? Until like maybe you get, I don't know, 10,000 new subscribers or something like that, right? So what do you think now that we have an idea of, okay, we have all of these providers, we can definitely do a pro and con, we can definitely start free and then work ourselves up. What are some maybe key features that you feel like as a beginner or something like that, if we're trying to do this ourselves, of course, we should not compromise on when like picking a platform or a provider?
Yeah, definitely, definitely the segmenting. You need to be able to segment your audience because that is what we were just talking about, how you can really personalize those emails. That is really the magic of email marketing, being able to do that. And when you do not have that, that is honestly too great of a loss. Again, visuals, aesthetics, that's one thing. They are not that important, but the segmenting really is.
Absolutely. And you, like you've mentioned, right, like the importance of that. And I'm sure like that's one of the things that you work a lot with your clients, right? Like being very strategic throughout that process and also through the customer like journey for very specific audiences, industry, businesses. So can you walk us, because I now I'm super curious to know a little bit more about how exactly do you work with your clients and like what does that look like for you, for them, and the process?
So surprisingly, I spent the least amount of time on the actual writing of the email. I spend a ton of time trying to understand them, trying to understand their brand. And this is what I would recommend to everyone. If you're doing this yourself, sit down with yourself, have a chat with yourself. What is your brand all about? So what's very important is that your emails are written in your brand voice. It should be recognizable. It should be unique. Like we touched upon earlier, don't try to be formal when your brand isn't. You know, it can be funny. It can be informal. It can be dramatic even. Can be anything you want it to be as long as it makes sense for you. So I spend a lot of time making sure that the words that I use make sense for the brand. Then step two is creating benefits. As Alex from Copy Posse puts it, I love it. She calls them the juicy bennies, the juicy benefits. They're all about what is the customer going to get. So this is a mistake I see a lot of people make, and they talk about features of a product or service instead of the benefits. And so this might sound like the same thing. This might sound very confusing. So I'm just going to, you know, give you an example because I learn by example. So say you are going to buy new running shoes. And so this is what a lot of sportswear companies like to do as well. And they go with, you know, like it has this type of fabric, it has this and this sole. I don't care. I don't care what sort of rubber the shoe is made of. I want to know, can I run a marathon in them? You know, will I be faster if I use these shoes? And those are benefits over features. So you could say, let's say you're going to buy a razor. You could say, the company could say, hey, we have 7 razors and they're super sharp. Great. Is that a lot? Is it? I don't know. I'm not a razor expert. You know, they probably are. I'm not. So instead of saying you have 7 blades on your razor, you could say that you will get the closest shave you've ever felt. You know, the smoothest legs you've ever felt, if that's something you want. So those are benefits over features. That is what I spend most of my time doing, really digging deep and seeing what someone wants. Say you have a scheduling app or a scheduling tool. People don't want to schedule. They want to free up time for the things they love. That is a benefit of the app. The actual scheduling, you know, that's not what I'd love to do. You know, I don't get out of bed on a Monday and go like, yes, you know, I can add to my calendar again. No, I just want to see when I can have cocktails with my friends. You know, that's what I care about. So those are benefits over features. And that is a really, really important thing to use in your email marketing.
I love that. I think sometimes we get like so in our heads of like what kind of knowledge we have, right? Like how can we like set us apart? But we have to also think about like, what does my customer hear or understand or wants to know about this? Like, do they really care that like there are 7 blades in this racer, or do they care to have a smooth, you know, experience, like no nicks or anything like that, right? Like that's what they want. Like that's what they want to know, want to hear, want to understand when like comparing it to different products, or like how it will feel in their hands, or like when they're using it and stuff like that. So I think all those features and all that stuff, like it's great to know, of course, because I feel like somebody does want to know, but it's also important to understand, like, leave with those benefits of like, what is it like having this compared to a different razor? Or what is it like having you as a coach or a mentor compared to other coaches and mentors, right? Like leading with that is what's going to help you set yourself apart and be the, you know, the branch of the business in which that customer purchases from. So I love that you mentioned that. I think that's very, very important. And we get so hung up on, again, those little details that sometimes fly by very much for our audience. Now, I do want to ask, because I asked this question to all of my guests, what advice would you give to young entrepreneurs or just female in general who are very, very driven right now with all these great tips and information that you've shared and are ready to implement it in their business, but are kind of scared to start or still feel a little bit overwhelmed? What advice would you give them and why?
I would just tell them to start telling their story, because everyone, no matter who you are, you have something special. You have something unique. Just sit down with yourself and go find it. If you can't, talk to your friends. Ask them what they love about you, what they find inspiring about you. Use that. That is a gold mine. Try to connect it to your service or offer, because usually the businesses that we start, they come from somewhere, right? I'm a writer. I love to tell stories. And now I tell other people's stories. It comes from somewhere. You know, I didn't just randomly decide to become an email marketer. And so really try and dig deep, stand out from the crowd, because there really is only one you. I know that is the cheesiest thing, but it is so, so true. And start there. Start there for your intro. Introduce yourself and really make it personal and connect with your audience.
I love that advice. That's such great advice. I love this conversation. I feel like all the knowledge and tips you shared, I feel like has definitely taken the overwhelm out of email marketing and those misconceptions. But you have to tell us what's next for you. What should we expect from you? But most importantly, how can we support you? And where can we connect you besides email?
Oh, I love that. Well, if you listen to this podcast and you're excited to start growing your email list or just literally start building it from scratch, I will be doing a live email list explosion bootcamp over at my Instagram. So my Instagram is at Renee Raymerman. But yeah, if you'd like to join that, start growing your list and start seeing the potential in email marketing, I would love to have you. If you have any questions, if you need any advice, just ask me. That's what I'm there for. I love to help out and I love to get creative with you and brainstorm.
Absolutely. Well, I'm super excited for that bootcamp. You guys definitely need to check it out. And like always, of course, I'll leave everything in the episode description so you can go ahead and connect with Renee, learn some more, and start your own email list, because the more you wait, those are more connections that you're missing out on. So thank you, Renee, so much for joining me. This has been such a great tips, knowledge, all the good stuff for email marketing. So thank you so much for joining me and sharing all that with us.
Well, thank you for having me. I know you're all about the actionable tips over here at the My Journey to CEO podcast. So I've been loving sharing this all with your listeners.
Thank you for joining me this week. But before you go, make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you can receive new episodes right when they're released. If you want to learn more, please visit myjourneytoceo.com and join the newsletter. Thank you again for joining me, Valeria Medero, in this episode of My Journey to CEO. Talk to you next time.